just a dissenting voice in a politically correct world. Ed says on the Talk of Connecticut. Join in 888-574-2723.
Good morning and welcome to Ed Says. I am he. I am Ed. Well, it is the last day of January, January 31st, 2017. It is a Tuesday. Welcome to the show. That is the number should you want to get in on the conversation. And I want to start today's show talking about fear and the history of it that this nation has, that humans have. It is ingrained in us. It is a survival instinct. And as I have mentioned before, we have very little to worry about these days for the most part, comparatively speaking. Yes, we all have financial concerns, health concerns, maybe a job is up in the air. But when it comes to neighboring tribes raiding your village, finding food and shelter, those things are seemingly, for the vast majority of us, commonplace. There are always exceptions to the rule. But most of us have a job and a roof over our head, however spotty that roof might be. We don't have to worry about bears hitting our campsite or loading up the wagon and finding somewhere else. We have indoor plumbing and air conditioning and heat. And it is those things that allow us to focus our fears elsewhere. Although there were times when we still had those concerns, we've always feared what's different. And the history of it goes as far back as the beginnings of man. And for as advanced as we have become, we seem to, some of us, have lost sight of that, of our advancements. We allow doctors and scientists to cut us open and do anything they need to extend our life. But at the same time, we hold on to these fears that date back to our first days. Not using medicine from our first days, that's for sure. We refuse to advance in some ways. You can go back to as far back, I mean even further, the Salem witch trials, where many innocent people were killed because witches. Yes, people were scared of witches. And then you can go as recently as, I don't know, let's go the comics code. Fear of comic books and what they could do to our children. Therefore, a panel had to be made to approve the content of comic books. And now, all these years later, comic books dominate the box office. Comic book characters rake in tons of money in movies and merchandise and cartoons and t-shirts and, guess what? Comics. They were vilified. Dungeons and Dragons, something that has become a bit of a joke in TV shows like Stranger Things and the Goldbergs, references I'm sure half of you probably don't understand. But when it was there, there was a scare about Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, black magic. Wow, they're going to try to summon demons. Same with the Ouija board. And same with the Satanism scare, the 70s and 80s. The PMRC in the 80s about hip-hop and rap music. Oh, the evils of it. It's going to make our children commit crimes. Meanwhile, it is now on every pop station in the globe. On the globe, and the best-selling music as well. Don't forget the kidnapping craze as well, where every van that didn't have airbrushed artwork on the side was probably a napper van, and somebody inside had handfuls of candy trying to steal your kid. Now we have reached the point in American history where a 5-year-old boy is considered a security threat and was handcuffed and held. That is the fear that we are dealing with. The boy was a U.S. citizen who lives in Maryland. He had been detained at D.C.'s Dulles Airport. I can't think of a worse place to be detained. And the administration's answer? Sean Spicer, press secretary extraordinaire, Baghdad Shaan, to assume that just because of someone's age and gender that they don't pose a threat would be misguided and wrong. Fear. It's a motivating factor for a lot of people, and it is being exploited. What are you scared of? Are you scared of Muslim terrorists coming over? You're living in fear. Are you fearful of Mexicans taking our jobs? Remember when that was the Irish? What are you afraid of? Is it a rational fear, or is it just a boogeyman in the closet? And realize your hypocrisy when you maybe scold your child for coming into your room late at night because they're scared of something in their closet. And you tell them, well, that's not real. You can't see through their eyes. Maybe it is. But you say, go back to bed. It's not real. But when faced with mounting evidence that the fears you have are irrational and overblown, you defend them. Realize the inherent hypocrisy there. And ask yourself how much longer you're going to live in fear. Which is not to say fear is not warranted. When the entire fabric of the United States of America, what it is based on, checks and balances, is being undermined by an administration who not only is writing the rules, but firing people who question them. That should strike fear in your heart. But instead, it gives you comfort. At least those of you who applaud travel bans like this. And if you point to Carter or President Obama, please recognize that those were based on intelligence and a hostage situation. Is there intelligence telling us now that those nations on the list are dangerous? That there is a possible attack? Because if that's the case, the administration should be telling us. Don't we have a warning system? Don't we have a color system to tell us? Or is that gone? I don't know. But it's helpful in keeping us afraid. Instead, we're told, oh, this is preemptive, even though there is no evidence of any attacks from anyone in those nations. Point to 9/11, well, the majority of them came from Saudi Arabia, not on the list. If you need someone to fear, if you need an enemy to get through the day, I feel pity for you. When there is plenty to fear going on in your government right now. 888-574-2723 is the number into the studio. There are those that think this immigration ban is a way to distract us from what is really going on, and what it is a power grab. It is an attempt to push everything to the limit, to see how much power the executive branch can take. And if you were worried under President Obama that the executive branch had too much power, where is your worry now? Eventually, someone will stand up to this, or it will continue and it'll be too late. There is a difference between being an American and being a nationalist lapdog. And if you think a 5-year-old American citizen poses a threat, and what amazes me is Baghdad Shaan couldn't even say something to the effect of, oh, it's an unfortunate side effect of the implementation of this plan. Our apologies to the family. No, he said, and this is what this administration does, there is no fault here. There is no wrongdoing. He says to assume that just because of someone's age and gender that they don't pose a threat would be misguided and wrong. Oh, I don't know. How about the fact that he's an American citizen, born here, lives here, and is 5 years old? But no. People will get swept up in it, caught up in it. And I guess in the eyes of this administration, you got to break a few eggs. Well, that is your civil rights being trampled on. But you probably won't care. There are some of you that probably will not care until it happens to you. And then it will become an issue. And well, that's what you're getting wrong. It's a lack of foresight. All because of fear. All because something is different. 888-574-2723 up next. We'll talk about what is different. That's next here on Ed Says. Welcome back to Ed Says here on the Talk of Connecticut, talking about what's different and why we fear it. And I had just the thought this morning as I was getting out of the shower, picture that if you will, that's a sight, that, you know, what I do, other people might think it's weird and different. And somehow that builds up into scary and must be stopped. And what really sparked this thought was something as mundane as me getting out of the shower. And every time I get in the shower, our cat perches itself on the radiator and waits. And I get out of the shower, I grab my towel, I start to towel off, and I give him my forearm. And he likes to lick the water off of my arm. Now, for me, it's adorable, it's cute, whatever. But for someone somewhere out there, that might be different or weird. It's mundane, but at what point does different and weird start to grow into fear? Because that's what happens. Some of you might have cats who you would never do that with. You think it's gross. You think it's weird. And that's fine. Some of you might practice a religion that differs from others. And when they practice theirs, you think it's weird. You go to church on Sunday and worship a guy plastered to a torture device. They happen to point their heads in a certain direction and bow. What's weird? The unknown, the different. And that means it's only weird to you. What you do could be weird to someone else. And yet, because it is unfamiliar, because it is different, we let these things consume us in fear. And make no mistake, all of you out there who scream about, you know, Muslim terrorists, don't act as though there are no other religions out there who have had campaigns of violence for years throughout our course of history. And it doesn't excuse any of those who commit violence. They are radicals. There are radicals of all shapes, sizes, religions, creeds, colors, genders. So to ascribe this behavior to an entirety of people because of the behavior of others is misguided and it is wrong. And I just want you to think about the little quirky, weird things you do and how mundane they seem to you, but how somewhere, someone might find that to be not only weird and different, but scary. And eventually someday think that you must be stopped. Whether it's letting your cat lick water off your arm, or whatever other things make you you. Just remember, one day, what you enjoy, what you do, what you like that might be a little different, could someday cause you to be targeted and ostracized. And wonder, is it really worth it? 888-574-2723. Let's go to Joe in Newington. Good morning, Joe.
Ed, what's up?
What's going on?
I hear you talking about the unknown. It's a known that you should worry about, okay? I heard you call talking about we should trust the color system. You know, red alert, orange alert, yellow alert. Well, there was a Homeland Security head that his tenure ended in 2005, Tom Ridge, during the W administration. If you read his book, it says in his book that all those alerts were done for political purposes and false. So there goes your trust in the color.
Well, Joe, hold on. First of all, I didn't say we should trust it. I just asked where it was because I hadn't seen it in a while. I definitely agree that it's probably, it's used to keep us in line. Fear is a great motivator. Yeah, that was rolled out after 9/11. We have been afraid since 9/11. Okay? And the message, the point of everything Osama bin Laden wanted to do was to change the way we live, to make us live in fear and to bankrupt us with endless war. And guess what? Even though he's gone, we are giving him everything he wanted because we are living in fear. Everything
scares
us.
His name is not Osama bin Laden. It's Tim Osman. That's a CIA code name.
All right, Joe. I thank you for the call. But we are giving him everything he wants or wanted. Living in fear. Changing the way we live. Just look at the way our airports functioned before this ban. Taking off our shoes and doing all these things. None of these things stopped anything. What changed things is our attitudes. Fighting back and locking the cockpit door. You live and you learn. It was a costly lesson. It was a tragic lesson. But we didn't realize the rules had changed. And bankrupting us with constant war. And don't think that's not happening. We are following step by step what Osama bin Laden wanted us to do. Because fear is a motivator. So congratulations. You live in fear. You're willing to give up what we stand for and how we are. You're handing victory to a dead man, a dead terrorist. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Joe in Hartford. Good morning, Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You there?
Why do you even feel that we need immigration?
What do you mean?
Well, it just seems like all our factories are, for example, going to Mexico, and then Mexico sends us all their unemployed. Where are the jobs? Where are these people going to work? Where? What are we going to do with all these immigrants? Why the need for immigration? Shouldn't we have a pause?
So we're full? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we're full. We're full, and our services are being taxed. Where are we going to put these people?
Do you realize the number of businesses that immigrants start and the number of people that they employ? It's not as though they just come here and sit around.
At whose expense?
What do you mean at whose expense? At their expense. They start a business.
At the expense of the people that are already here? At whose expense?
Well, if you're already here, why don't you start a business?
I do have a business.
Then good. What are you complaining about? What are you complaining about? Were you here? Are you a Native American?
I'm first generation immigrant. Why do we need immigration?
Maybe we shouldn't have let your family in.
Already here.
Joe, go back to your country. How about that? How's that sound? How does that feel?
Hey.
Go back to where you came from, Joe. We don't want you here, Joe. We could have done it without you. How does that feel?
Hey, listen.
Thank you, Joe. I'm up against a break. You can hold on or you can hang up. We'll be right back on Ed Says. Welcome back to Ed Says here on the Talk of Connecticut. And my last caller did not stick around, unfortunately. The idea that a first-generation immigrant, not sure what the math on that is. Does that mean your parents came here and so you're a first-generation American? The wording was a little off, so I wasn't sure. But saying we should close, we don't need any more. Well, it's a good thing you got in before the cutoff, huh? The idea that, it worked for you, but it can't work for others. The kind of selfish mentality is unbelievable to me because here's the other thing. People die every day. People are born every day, but people die every day. It is not as though the population continues to rise without any losses. We have constantly had immigration. And the idea that we are taking the burden of these people, these refugees, is false. When I gave you the Syrian numbers yesterday, we didn't even break 20,000. When meanwhile, there's countries in the hundreds of thousands. But the idea that, we can stop now. When you aren't that far removed from being those people in need, turning your back, that is like someone who grew up getting assistance from the state or the federal government going, well, you know what, I was on it and it worked for me, but the rest of you are abusing it, so shut it down. It's just small-minded and absurd. Meanwhile, a longtime listener emailing me, Ling, saying some fear is justified, talking about her son who was murdered by a soldier, an immigrant from Honduras, not properly vetted by the military. He had issues he kept hidden. And bad guys do get by, saying she agrees that it should not be one size fits all, but we should not dismiss the entire process. And I agree. I fully agree. At no point did I say we should get rid of the vetting process. In fact, here's Massachusetts Seth Moulton talking about the process for an interpreter who helped the United States of America.
It takes a long time for refugees to come through the system. I just had another translator come to America 8 years after we started his procedure. It took 8 years for him and his family to get through the process to come here. So Sean Spicer and I guess the rest of the administration obviously have no idea how this works.
How much more, quote, extreme does it have to be? Is 8 years not enough? Minimum of 2 for most people, probably. This extreme vetting based on location, they're already vetting them. And I'm sorry for your loss, Ling. We've had great discussions via email, and I agree with you. There has to be, and there is a system in place. And it works. In fact, it works because of the numbers we have. And you're right. Bad guys will always get by. Because we can't find what they want to hide sometimes. And unfortunately, innocent people get caught up. It is an imperfect world. And innocent people get caught up every day from selfish people. Whether it is someone who decides that they can blow through the intersection because they're in a hurry and T-bones a car and cripples someone or takes their life, or it's someone coming from another country with a history they try to hide. Evil lives in some people's hearts. There's nothing you can do about that. And it's unfortunate. If we want to continue as the country we are, it is an unfortunate side effect. Standing with your arms open to embrace someone opens you up for attack. It's not a fighting stance. That is why you don't see any fighters stand, unless they're the Diaz brothers, taunting someone with their arms open as if they are going to hug someone. Because it opens you up for attack. Otherwise, you live in a defensive posture, ready to attack. And living that way is one, no way to live, and two, not who America is. Let's go to Bob and Haddam. Good morning, Bob.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
If it was working, why would it take 8 years for somebody who helped us over in Iraq to get here? It hasn't worked. That should have been taken care of. I listened to a gentleman on the radio today, that said 5 years it took him to get in. He was a translator, and he was held up at the airport. He said, "Well, I was held up for 10 hours. I've waited 5 years, you know." So it's a temporary ban, and when you say we're in fear, of course we're in fear. I mean, when somebody breaks into your house, after that, you feel violated and you're in fear. What do? You either buy a gun, put an alarm system in, put bolts and locks on all your doors. Yeah, we always live in fear. Does it take control of us? No. It doesn't take control of me, but I'm not going to leave my front doors open in my house because I don't want to be fearful. And this is temporary.
Well, Bob, first of all,
it's 90 days.
No, hold on, though. Hold on. None of those nations listed, are responsible for any attack or death in America. So explain to me why they're on the list.
Why did we ban Iraq for 6 months?
When are you talking about?
We banned President Obama banned Iraq for 6 months from anybody coming in.
Because that was based on intelligence of a threat.
Well, wait a second. We have threats coming in. Look at Europe. They left Syria, they went to Europe, and they've been carnage all over the place.
It's not a fact. Carnage all over the place makes it sounds like you can set your watch to it.
We're going to have one every month.
You know what you described when you described your house getting broken into? That is living in fear. Yeah, you can lock your door. A lock is a deterrent. A lock isn't going to stop anyone. Anybody can. You can put up all the security cameras you want. You can put up all the locks you want. You can stay home 24 hours a day. But if someone wants to get into your house, they will. So why waste the money and the effort?
You didn't hear my point.
Because you have no point.
Yes, I do. Because, yes, I could lock my doors. Do you lock your doors?
Yes.
Why are you living in fear?
No, you're mistaking a deterrent for an elimination. An elimination. We already have locks. 8 years a guy has to wait. That's not a lock? What are you afraid of? Just say you're afraid of people of a different religion.
No, I'm not afraid.
Then what are you afraid of?
You've got to understand something. Wait a second. You've got to understand something. I probably have a half a dozen Muslim friends. Some of the things I don't agree with, I mean, I was shocked about 4 years ago when one of my friends said there was no Holocaust, and then he said, well, we bombed Japan first. That's why they bombed Pearl Harbor. And I kind of looked at him kind of strange. I didn't say anything. That's what he was taught. He comes from Pakistan. That's what he was taught.
And you wouldn't correct him?
Was he right? No, I don't. He wasn't right. Did I stand there and go crazy on him? No. No,
you don't have to go crazy on him. You have a conversation with him and show him the facts.
Right. And that's what we're having. We're having a conversation. You say, well, you can lock every door. Well, yes, but you can also be proactive by locking your doors, by putting alarms. Why do you think we have so many companies selling alarms?
What I'm saying is we already have those in place. Why are you putting two deadbolts on your door when only one is needed? We've already got those in place.
Why do I have an alarm system in my house?
But what I'm saying is we already have that in place. We already have these systems.
This is temporary. Temporary.
But what I'm asking you, Bob, what I'm asking you is why is it even necessary?
Well, let me ask you one.
No. Answer my question. Do not answer a question
because,
with a question. Why is this temporary ban necessary? Why is it necessary?
It's necessary because there have been people that left Syria.
Who?
Went on the countries.
Who? Who's come here? Nobody's come here.
Nobody in Syria.
Who has come here?
There's no conversation.
Who has come here? Who has come here from Syria and done that? I'm dancing. I'm standing and dancing. No one. Nobody. Thank you. Good day, sir. Let's go to Joe in Hartford. Go ahead, Joe. Joe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you stated that immigration's always been a part of our country, and that's not true. There was a immigration pause from 1925 to 1965 in order to let all the immigrants that came into this country to fuel the need for labor during the Industrial Revolution to allow all these people to assimilate into our country. And that's what we need to do right now. We need a pause on immigration. And this and you're stating that there's no threat from these refugees when a majority of attacks have been that's taken place in Europe have been caused by refugees.
What about here? What about here? What about America? Where's Timothy McVeigh from?
America? Where do you want to,
where was Timothy McVeigh from?
The Boston bombing. Those boys were refugees. They were refugees.
Where were they from?
It doesn't matter where they're from.
Where were they from?
It doesn't matter where they're from.
Yeah, because they're not on the list.
Where they're from.
I believe they were Chechen.
Okay.
Weren't they Chechen? Weren't on the list. Weren't on the list. Weren't on the list. Weren't on the list. Keep it up, though. Keep going. What do you got? All right. What is your nationality? Where are your ancestors from, Joe?
You, buddy. I'm the same as you.
Where are you? Italian?
I'm
are you Irish?
You, Olivetta. I'm the same as you.
So what do you think Oliveira is? What are you assuming Oliveira is?
Well, tell me.
Do you think it's Italian?
Well, you tell me what it is.
You tell me.
Okay. Listen.
I'm assuming most people assume my name is Italian. So I'm going to, Joe, I'm going to go with Italian because most people assume it is. So
Italian. It's not Italian. It's not Italian.
Then what is it?
You know, you think you know it all. You think you know it all. You think you're a smart. How did you even get this show?
I know it's not Italian, you dummy. It's my last name. Hey, goofball.
I'm going to get your show. I'm going to get
Please do, Joe.
That's my word. I will have your show. I will have your time slot. You don't have any of these facts straight.
Oh, Joe. Listen. Joe, yes. I know my last name's not Italian, you dope. It's my last name. I said most people assume it is. Do you think it's Italian?
Listen. I'm not talking about...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, it's Joe Says.
I want to talk about immigration. That's what I want to talk about.
No, I'm asking you a question, though. So, should we ban all Italians because I believe that they run the mob?
I don't want to talk about your Olive Tree last name, okay? I don't want to talk about your Olive Tree last name. I want to talk about...
Ed Olive Garden.
Why did we have a pause? Why did we have a pause?
Why didn't we pause the Italians? Because they're all mobsters killing people in the streets.
Not true.
All
not
Italians true. Are mobsters, just like all Muslims are terrorists.
Why
Thanks,
we
Joe. Good day. Can't answer the question. Last name's Portuguese. Portuguese. All right? Most people assume it's Italian. But it's Portuguese. And I don't look an ounce of it. All Irish here, baby. Irish, Portuguese, French, Canadian, Irish, Scottish. That's right. I'm a mutt. Because I'm American. Because I was born here. Now, were my ancestors from a bunch of different places? Sure. But I'm American. So, take that as you will. My point was that saying a whole group of people is bad because of the actions of certain individuals, and would you argue that the mafia wasn't made up of Italians? No. But say, hey, y'all can't come in because some of you are crime bosses. Some of you are terrorists. Well, guess what? You can't judge the entirety of a people based on the actions of a few. Man, I'm worked up. I'm standing up today. Let's go to Ron in Meriden. Good morning, Ron.
How you doing, Ed?
Oh, I'm amped up today.
I hear you. Hey, I love your program, and this guy Joe that you just had on, he's a class A dope. These people don't realize that the war on terrorism is a lost cause, just like the war on drugs. America is losing it for every reason that they don't even understand the reasons that they're losing it. And everything that, like you said, that Osama and all these other idiots that hate America wanted, that's exactly what they're getting. Paranoia, and they're taking our civil liberties and our civil rights away. And these dopes are all falling for it. Ed, God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you for the call, Ron. And you're right in that we are giving up all of our rights. We are living in fear. And you want to make someone dislike you who didn't? Tell them they can't do something that they used to be able to do, or tell them they can't do something that you can do. You know, shout at your neighbor next time you see him. Don't use my sidewalk. Stay off my lawn. See how quickly that relationship sours. And just realize that, yes, as a country, we have relationships. And right now, our president is crapping all over them. Every single one. Over 1 million people in Britain have signed a petition asking them not to meet with Donald Trump. 1 million people! Who's got time for that? They do, because it's that serious. There are people marching in the streets every weekend, every day it seems now. And there's more coming. Scientists. Men, women. The protests have just started. There are Twitter accounts, now, while unverified, from our parks services, like park rangers, who are against what's going on. And there is one from within the White House. Again, not verified, but a lot of stuff lines up. They'll tweet something, and it'll happen. Up to 1.6 million have signed that petition. I think it's a country of 50 million. But still, like, that's a ridiculous number. If you're on hold, please stay there. I got to take a quick commercial break. When everybody thinks you're wrong, you might be wrong. We'll be right back on Joe Says here on the Talk of Connecticut. Now, before I go back to the phones, just let me say that, yes, I try to be above the fray, although I've said I've been pushed to my limits in this year. I've made it a month. In my earlier exchange with Joe, I might have called him a dope. I think, Christian, you would have to go to the tape, but I think that came out. I try to keep the conversation civilized, but obviously sometimes things get heated. I do have to move things along, so I will sometimes hang up on people, but I am better than that, and I come up short sometimes. So take that as an apology. Name-calling, not the best. Not my best moment, but at the same time, my points still stand. And again, I try to have this show be different than everything out there, where it is constant name-calling and yelling and what have you. So hopefully cooler heads prevail. At the same time, you know what? I'm human, and so I just strive to be better. I made it 30 days into the year, so I got that going for me. I think that might be a record. But the conversation does have to move forward, and if it is being circular, I will definitely move things along. Let's go to Mike in Waterbury. Mike, good morning. I will try not to call you any names. Mike, are you still there?
Yep, I'm on the phone. Yep.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Good morning. I like to say that I appreciate your point of view at times, but I strongly disagree many times, which is what makes for a good conversation. But getting back to immigration, now the gentleman you had talking about Italians, I'm not Italian. I'm actually a first-generation immigrant myself. Actually, I'm the firstborn for my family in this country. And my grandfather to come here, it took him 8 years to get to be legal. He was here first, and my grandmother gave birth to his daughter, who he hadn't seen for almost 9 years until she got here. The point I want to make is that as Italians in this country during World War II, going back to December 11th, 1942, when they declared Italy, Japan, and Germany declared war on the United States rounded up Japanese people that were immigrants here and Italians and kept them in concentration camps within our own country for the protection of American people and all of us. And not that I strongly believe in it, but until the threat was shown not to be in our country, those people then were sent back into their homes. And I don't see a problem with that. And if that's what we have to do to protect our country at this point in time with the change of the world, especially with all the Muslims that are coming here and what their true beliefs are, and not all of them, part of their Quran is to take over the world as part of their religion. Where they set their feet is where they feel that they're going to rule. And that's not an American culturally accepted way of thinking.
All right, so a couple of things. One, we look back as a nation and historically frown upon those camps. There is nobody that celebrates that. But you just said you would be for that.
Only in certain circumstances. And now in the turmoil that's happening throughout the world, in other countries, whether it's France, England, Switzerland, all these countries that have had influx of Muslims who have certain beliefs, and they're trying to inflict those, maybe inflict is not the right word, force those beliefs on the countries that are there to help them, then we need to take a step back and then maybe put them on hold a little bit until they can either assimilate to us. We have an American culture here. We have an American dream. We have an American way of living, and we're all entitled to that, every single one of us, you, me, everyone else. As long as we all have that American way of thinking, of being able to have our freedoms and to live those, I don't have to particularly like my neighbor for whatever reason, and they don't have to like me, but I have to respect the fact that we're all Americans and treat each other that way. And these people, not all of them, some of the bad ones, make things very bad for the rest of that group of people. It doesn't matter whether you're Italian, Greek, Portuguese, whatever you are. You can't come here and I use the word island mentality, build a transmission on your front lawn, because it's not acceptable to the rest of the neighborhood that you live in. That's not how we do things here. We're not from a country that's acceptable. And that's all I'm saying. It's just that.
Right, but you also mentioned this idea of their religion and wanting to take over. On the flip side, in Christianity and the Book of Revelation, when you talk about the end of times and how people will ascend to heaven, you could argue that there are those who practice Christianity, who live for that. Like that that's what they want. So maybe they're pushing some of their agenda to hasten those end of times, to Armageddon, so they can go be in the glory of God. So there are extremists on all sides.
Right, but that's as Americans, we're a Judeo-Christian funded.
There are written documents and signed agreements in which we say we are not a Christian nation. You can repeat that till you're blue in the face, but it's not true. As a practicing agnostic, atheist, deist, whatever you want to call me, you know what? I believe when it's over, it's lights out, and there's nothing. I believe in nothing, and nothing is a hard concept for people to grasp. It's terrifying. The idea of a void, of you ceasing to exist, of there being, but there was nothing before, and there will be nothing after. Your existence is only what you know, and that is my belief. And I shouldn't be run out of the country because I'm not Judeo-Christian, even though I was raised that way, and I shouldn't be placed in camps, or if I were coming from another country, I shouldn't be denied entrance if I meet all the requirements. And that is what I am saying. We have a system, and it works. It does not need this modification. This is a targeted modification for specific countries that completely excludes other countries that it shouldn't.
And I agree with you there. There's countries that, if we're going to do that, like what President Trump has initiated with those seven countries, there's definitely more of that. If you're going to do that, then there's a whole group of other countries that should be included, and I agree with you. And I don't know why they were excluded. That's something that we can't answer as regular citizens, because it's probably a politically motivated whatever.
It's money. It's just money.
Whatever that is, whether it's
always
oil,
that
whether
is.
It's money, whether it's whatever that is. But I'm saying, as an American citizen, I don't want to fear that my neighbor, who is a Muslim, and again, this I'm not saying this for all Muslims, has an idea that they want me wiped off the face of the earth, and they come to my homeland.
Well, Mike, what I would say, that danger always exists with anyone. They could want to eat your face Hannibal Lecter style, and they could be church-going Christians. Look at John Wayne Gacy. Look at Ted Bundy. I am up against the break. I appreciate the conversation and the back and forth. But that's the thing. That fear, that danger always exists. You do not know the intentions of anyone, regardless. I mean, John Wayne Gacy was involved in his community, dressed up as a terrifying clown, and murdered people and buried them under a house.